All right, just remain standing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Didn't want to say, failed to mention, it's good to have our visitors with us. Amen, Brother Bo. Good to have him with us. And the granddaughter there. And then also Brother Caleb. Amen, back with us. Not sure exactly why, but he found his way back. Amen. No, we appreciate him being here with us this morning. Amen. Always good to have him here in the services with us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're just going to read the very last verse there in the chapter at first. But keep your Bibles open. We're going to look through these scriptures here and some other scriptures as well. Lord being our helper here this morning. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. It says, thank the Lord. If we have Christ, we have something to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. Amen. Brother Hall, you care to lead us in prayer today as we preach.
Father, we're so thankful this morning for the Sunday school hour.
Yes.
We thank you for the opportunity we have to sit one more time under preaching. I pray you're blessed with the guys to preach this morning.
Help us, Lord.
With your spirit and power, I pray you help those this morning that may be sick or afflicted.
Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. This scripture here talks about God and His unspeakable gift. And of course, we're in the Christmas season. We just come out of the Thanksgiving season a couple of weeks ago. And this verse kind of mixes the two together. Talking about thanking the Lord for His gift. Amen. And so, we think about, in Christmas time, we give gifts to each other a lot of times, don't we? That's part of the Christmas spirit, I guess you say, is giving gifts. And one of the reasons we do that is because God gave us the greatest gift that was given. What would we have is Christ's birthday, if we can say it that way. That's what we're celebrating, is the birth of Christ. Well, what do we have? What kind of gift could we give to Christ? He has everything. Amen. He owns the whole world, the whole universe. He created it. Amen. What could we give to Him? But the reason we give gifts to others on Christ's birthday is because of what God gave to us in His Son. The verse here says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gifts. Amen. And sometimes the Christmas season, it gets us down and out sometimes because we think about the loved ones we used to have here with us, no longer with us. Or sometimes we get depressed about all the commercialization of Christmas. Everybody's, you know, running around everywhere. It's a busy time of the year. Have family get-togethers, you know, everything going on. And we lose sight of what it's really all about. Amen. It is all about Christ. Amen. And Christ coming to this world for us, that we could be saved. And the Bible tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That's the gift, is eternal life. And He gave it to us through His Son, amen, Christ. And so we see that Paul said this is an unspeakable gift. God's gift to him was an unspeakable gift. So I want to look here. I don't know how you could describe this. I just said I titled it God's Great Gift. And of course that is the biggest understatement that there is, amen. But the Bible, a lot of times we say God is good, and some people say He's better than that, and He is. But the Bible says that God is good, amen. So it doesn't do us any harm to say that. He's better than that. We don't have words in our language to describe how good God is. We don't have words to describe this gift that God gave to us in His Son. Paul ran out of words to do it. So he just said it's an unspeakable gift, amen. He wasn't saying that this gift cannot speak, is not able to speak. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we can't describe the gift that God has given to us in His Son. Amen. So, if you look at this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, you go down and look through it, read through it, you'll almost think that this verse is kind of misplaced. It doesn't look like it fits into this verse. Paul, and if you look back in the previous chapter, chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, is talking to the Corinthians about giving, about them giving. And Paul's not talking about Christmas time. Paul's not talking about Christ, really, not necessarily. He's talking about them giving to other Christians who are suffering. The Jews in Jerusalem, because of their persecution from the government and other religious leaders, they were poor. They were suffering. But then also there was a famine in Israel at this time. So two different reasons why they were suffering. They didn't have much. And Paul tells the Corinthians in these two chapters that they are blessed. Amen. They have so much. And Paul's telling them he's not asking for them to give for him, or even he's not asking them to become poor so somebody else can become rich. He's saying it because so God is using the Corinthians to give because they can give to somebody that doesn't have anything to give. And so he's talking to them about giving. And then here at the end, he gives them an example of the greatest gift. And that is Christ. Amen. The gift of God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. So I want us to think about this gift and think about Paul here is giving them instructions about giving. I'm not really going to preach on giving this morning, although we could get some help from these verses about giving. But I want us to look at God's gift and how that Paul's telling them how they should give and is using Christ, of course, as the ultimate example, and he is. And look at how Christ gave for us. Amen. When Paul was trying to describe how that God gave the gift, and the gift that God gave, Paul realized he didn't have the words. If he had all the words in every language in the world, he couldn't describe the gift that God gave us in Christ. And so he just says it's an unspeakable, Paul just makes up a new word pretty much, said it's an unspeakable gift because we cannot describe it. Look in 1 Peter. Turn to 1, keep your finger here in 2 Corinthians. Look in 1 Peter, a very familiar scripture as well. But I want you to look at another time this word is used, and it's used talking about Christ as well. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. The Bible says, verse number 1, we'll just start there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So that's kind of his introduction to the letter that he's getting ready to write, is greeting to them. And then in verse number 3, he starts talking about this gift. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter's telling them that you have this great treasure. You have a great blessing, and that is what Christ has given us, the salvation that we have through Christ, the hope of glory, the hope of heaven. It's not a hope in I hope I make it. It's a hope that we know it's there. Amen. And we can have assurance in that fact. And Paul's saying, even though we may be struggling here on this earth, we may be, these believers, a lot of them are fleeing for their life. They were being persecuted. And that they were scattered abroad. These believers were, I'm sure they didn't have any money, right? They were struggling in that respect as well. They were in a hard trial, a terrible trial. Peter said, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But then he said that the trial of your faith, in verse 7, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor at the glory of the appearing, or, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, he's talking about Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Now, Peter had seen Christ, but they hadn't, right? The believers he's speaking to had not seen Christ. But he said, whom having not seen, ye love. Amen. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So Peter's telling them this salvation that God has given to us causes us, Paul said it's an unspeakable gift. Peter said it causes us to have unspeakable joy. Amen. Joy that we can't even express. And I believe if we're saved, then we should have joy. We should be thankful for this gift that God has given, this great gift that God has given unto us. Amen. So Paul said, I can't describe the gift. Peter said, we can't describe the joy that comes from receiving the gift. Amen. The gift of God, and that is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're saved today, if we're saved, we don't need to look any farther to find something to praise the Lord for and to be thankful for. If we have Christ, if we have the Holy Ghost living inside of us, we know that Christ died for our sin on the cross. Amen. And He paid for our sin. And He's building us a place, going to prepare us a place, if I can say it that way. Preparing us a place in heaven to be with Him. Amen. I'm thankful for that, ain't you? We have something to praise the Lord for. I'm talking about this unspeakable gift. God's great gift. Amen. We may be in turmoil today. We may not have the easiest life. Amen. I think we probably, most of us have it easier than a lot of Christians around the world do today. But we still, we may not have all the money that we want. We may not, we may be trying to figure out how to pay our next month's bills. I don't know. Maybe we're trying to figure out how to pay this month's bills. Amen. But we have something to rejoice in if we're saved. Amen. We have a gift, and this gift come from heaven. Amen. It come from the throne of God. It is Christ. Paul was writing this letter to encourage these believers to give. And these two chapters, he's doing that. And he gives as the example of the gift, or the giver, he gave as God, who gave us His Son. Amen. So, when Christ came to this world, God became a man so that He might give His life for His people, the Bible says. Matthew 1:21, you know the scripture. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Of course, Jesus means Savior, and the reason it's supposed to be called Jesus, the reason Mary is supposed to name him Jesus, is because, or Joseph named him Jesus, is because he was going to save his people from their sins. Amen. That was the purpose. He didn't come to be king. He is king. Amen. We're thankful for that. But that wasn't the reason he came the first time to the earth. The reason he came was to save his people from their sins. Amen. So we see that. Look in, keep your place here in 2 Corinthians. Look over in Philippians. It's a few pages over. Philippians chapter 2. We see that not only did God give his life, we're talking about the gift that God gave. God gave his life. Christ gave his life for his people to be saved. But God also became a slave that we might become sons of God. The Bible says here in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse number 5, again, very familiar scripture. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Paul said that he was in the form of God, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Christ was equal with God, with the Father, if we can say it that way. They are equal. Amen. And the Holy Ghost as well. They're equal. But Christ came to the earth, humbled himself, the Bible says, born in a lowly stable, amen. Born there to parents that didn't have anything hard, it doesn't look like. I know Joseph was not his parent. Joseph was the man that God used to help raise Jesus, but he was not the father. But Joseph was just a humble carpenter. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a ruler. He wasn't a rich man. He was a carpenter. Christ humbled himself and humbled himself even, the Bible says, he became obedient unto death. Amen. Even the death of the cross. This gift that God gave. Amen. Christ coming for our and dying for our sins. He not only did he become a slave, so we become sons. The Bible tells us that God became poor so that we could become rich. If you're there in 2 Corinthians, look back in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. Paul's talking to them about giving. And he says here, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Amen. God created the whole world from nothing. He never needed anything. Has never had a need for anything. I believe God created the world in 6 days and everything that is in 6 days. I don't think that God creates things today. I don't think that God has created things all throughout the history. I think God did it all in 6 days. But if he wanted to, he could. Amen. He could create anything he wants to create. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need resources. He doesn't need anything. He has it all. That's the epitome of wealth, ain't it? You don't even need anything to buy anything with. You just have, Christ had everything. He was on the throne with God the Father. And he gave it up so that we could be rich. Amen. This gift that God gave. I want you to think about this here. Look in verse number 2 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. We're looking at how that Paul was using Christ as an example for these believers to give. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 8. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So he's talking to them about the churches of Macedonia. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." Paul's telling them, now I believe if I understand this scripture right, he gets down to chapter 9 and he's telling them about their church and their giving and how they were liberal in giving. But it looks to me like the Corinthians were not struggling financially. They were not in poverty. They had some means, right? And they were willing to give of their means. And God blesses those who give even if they do have means. Amen. God blesses them if they do it for the right reason and with the right motive. Amen. God will bless them. So, but here he tells them in verse 2 how that the churches of Macedonia didn't have the means that the Corinthians had. And yet they gave liberally out of their poverty. Amen. He says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." Amen. So the Macedonians gave through their deep poverty with joy. They didn't have their arm twisted behind their back to give. Yeah. You know, nobody twisted God's arm behind his back to get him to give Christ to us. Amen. Amen. He freely gave his own son. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. Look in Hebrews. Keep your place here in Corinthians. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. You know this verse? I'll read two verses here. Very familiar. We could quote them. Let's look at them here. This is where that preacher was preaching. I told you about preaching on the changes in the deity on the cross. Look here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, here's the example again, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when God gave this gift, He gave His Son, right? We know that from John 3:16, a number of places. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us His Son. It cost Him everything, in one sense, to give Christ. But Christ was still God, even on the earth. What really cost Christ was going to the cross and taking on that sin for us. The Bible says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Now, what was that joy? That joy was you and me being saved. That was the joy. That's what the songwriter said, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Amen. That's He was thinking of us. Amen. He did it for us. That was the purpose for Him going to the cross. That was the joy, to be able to save the souls of lost man. But the Bible says for the joy. This preacher said this, and I think he's right. He said that word joy is the ultimate, is a word for ultimate satisfaction. That's the ultimate satisfaction, is to have joy. But then he says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He said that word despise is the ultimate dissatisfaction. Christ despised the shame. Christ despised the sin. He hated being separated from God, the Father. He hated men looking at Him and seeing His shame and His nakedness. And God on the cross. It looks like a helpless God. He wasn't helpless. We understand that. But from the people standing around, it looked like God was dying on the cross. It wasn't a very powerful God. That was what Christ despised. Amen. The pain, the agony, but more than that, that cup of sin that He had to take, He despised it. But He gave through that. Amen. Paul's telling us we need to give through our difficulty, even though we may be struggling. That's what Christ did. Amen. Christ was the ultimate example in that. He gave even while He's on the cross there. We thank the Lord for that. In verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 8, look what the Bible says there. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So that Paul's telling them they gave even more than they thought they could, even more than they had the ability to do. I would say if you give, and I know this church is a giving church, and I thank the Lord for that. If you give, sometimes you have probably given more than you thought you was able to give. Amen. Sometimes God will have us do that. He'll lay it on our heart. We're like, there's no way I can give that much. Amen. A couple months ago, I guess it was now, I was in a place where I didn't know exactly what was going on, how I was going to do. I got a bill I didn't know I was expecting. Amen. Didn't know, and I pledged some money on the marathon. And that week that I did that, I was able to work some for Uber and made more money than I've ever made for Uber on that weekend. Amen. And the Lord, it was almost the exact dollar what I needed for that bill. Amen. And it was a blessing. And I thank the Lord for that. But what I'm saying is, God puts it, and we think, I don't know how I can do this. And we can't do it. But God does it through us. Amen. God gives us what we need. And that's what Paul was encouraging them to do, was to give beyond their power, beyond what they thought they could do. And the Bible says they were willing of themselves. They were willing to do that. They were willing to give. Amen. And so the Macedonians gave what they could and even more. And Christ did the same. He gave His life, something that He could not give. He couldn't lose His life. Amen. But He did. He gave it for me and for you. Amen. He's the prime example, as we said. He did that so that me and you could have life. Amen. Verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians 8. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The Macedonians begged Paul to receive this gift. Even though I'm sure Paul, probably looking at them, saw the size of the donation they was given to these Jews in Jerusalem. They wasn't given to Paul. that was given to the Jews in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul probably looked at this gift and looked at these Macedonians who were living, the Bible says, in great poverty, right? In great trial of affliction, deep poverty. So Paul probably looked at these people and said, you can't afford to give. You need this more than the Jews do, more than the people in Jerusalem do. But they were given of themselves so that somebody else could have. Paul was supposed to take this gift. They begged Paul to take the gift. But did you know Paul had to accept that gift from them? He had to take it down to the people at Jerusalem and give it to them. And they had to accept it as well. Amen. That's the same thing Christ did. God gave His Son to us. A free gift. But then He is asking us to accept the gift. It doesn't do us any good unless we take Him to ourselves. Amen. Take Him into our heart. Amen. It has to be accepted. Any gift can be refused. You've probably seen somebody refuse a gift before. You may have refused it. You can refuse the gift that God gave. That wouldn't be advisory. Amen. You should. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't think I'll do it some other time. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. This gift must be accepted. Verse number 5. Look at the Bible says, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Paul said, Brother Blue would say this, these Macedonians put their own self in the offering plate. They gave their own self before. And you know, you'll never give to the work of the Lord like you should until you give yourself to the Lord. Amen. It's not my money, it's God's money. Amen. Christ gave His own self, the Bible tells us. Amen. In John 3:16, we know that verse very well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. God gave of Himself. He was, as I said, He wasn't forced to do it. He did it willingly. Amen. Romans 8:3, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. In those verses, Paul said that God gave His own Son. Amen. His own life on the cross. It's easy for us to give. The politicians in Washington figured out how they can give your money away. It don't hurt them a bit to do that. But God didn't give somebody else's son. God gave His own Son for me and for you. Amen. And there in Romans 8, still in verse number 32, the Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Amen. Christ is the ultimate gift. As we said, God's great gift. Amen. This unspeakable gift. How can we describe the gift that God gave to us? Amen. Look, well, let me read this. 1 Peter 2:24. Peter said, he's talking about Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. So we see Christ gave His own self. Amen. It wasn't our idea to ask God to send His Son. God did that. Amen. And look in verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians 8. Yes, that's right. Verse number 10. We've read verse number 9 about how Christ became poor so that we could become rich. Verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So it looks like the Corinthians was willing to give a year ago, and they had made a commitment to give. That's why in verse number 1 of chapter 9, he tells them, not in verse number 1, but anyway, he says verse number 7 of chapter 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Paul said, you made a commitment, follow through on your commitment. Amen. We'll get to that here in a minute. Here, he says, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So, Paul's telling them they had a readiness and a willingness to give and a purpose that they was going to give, and now they needed to follow through with their giving. Amen. They were willing, though, to give. We see that in order for God to bless our giving, as I said, you can give for the wrong reason. And sometimes God does bless that in certain ways, but I believe for God, for you to receive all the promises of the Word of God for your giving, it has to be for the right reasons and in the right spirit and in the right motive. Amen. For God to bless our giving, we have to be doing our giving with a willing heart. That's what he said. He said they were willing. They had a readiness to will. Amen. They were willing. This principle goes all the way back to the children of Israel in the wilderness. You remember that? Exodus 25:2, the Bible says, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. If you read on down through the book of Exodus and on down, even as they're building the temple later, they gave as every man had a willingness to give. Whatever they, and they had more than what they needed. Amen. Because the people were willing to give. But Paul tells us later we need to, God loveth a cheerful giver. You'll never be a cheerful giver unless you're willing to give. Amen. You have to have the will. But God was willing to send us His Son. Amen. Amen. Willing to do that. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason Christ came was because He wanted you to be saved. He wanted you to know Him. He wanted you to be a part of His family. Amen. The family of God. We sing the song. Verse number 6 of chapter 9. Look there with me. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Bible says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen. There's a principle there. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And that's found all through the Bible. Brother Steve quoted twice this morning the verse there. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. There is a principle of reaping and sowing. If you reap something, if you sow something, you're going to reap it. You'll reap more than you sowed. And you reap the same thing that you sowed. Amen. And so, we see that principle. But here in giving, Paul says you have to, if you want to reap a bountiful harvest, you have to sow bountifully. Amen. And so, we see that we reap in direct proportion to how we sow. I wonder about Christ. What did He do? He gave His all. Amen. If we say He sowed it all, He gave His all. And so, do you know what that means? That means you can be saved. God can reap bountifully. And He has reaped bountifully. We understand that. But I believe there's more people that can be saved today. Amen. If you trust in Christ. Verse number 7 of chapter 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Paul gives us three different things here about how we should give. He says, well, four things really. As you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but be a cheerful giver. Amen. We are to purpose or commit to give, and then follow through with that. The Corinthians had promised a year ago to give in this offering, and Paul's telling them, I'm coming now, and I want you to go ahead and take up the offering. So he said that in his first letter. Take up the collection so there won't have to be a collection when I get there, right? He liked to have it done before he got there. But he was bringing people with him, and he didn't want him to be embarrassed or them to be embarrassed or whatever because they wasn't expecting Paul. and hadn't already taken up the offering. Paul's telling them, I'm coming. Go ahead and get your offering together. Amen. You promised to give. You were willing back then. Go ahead and follow through with your giving. Amen. The Corinthians had made a promise, and they were excited about giving to other Christians that needed help. But Paul reminds them here of their promise and of their pledge. He reminds them how important it is for us to follow through. Amen. And to keep our vows to God. Amen. But God, we're talking about the gift that God gave, right? The gift that God gave. God promised that gift way back in the Garden of Eden. He promised it. Amen. You look back at the, hold your place there. Look back in Genesis chapter number 3. You know this scripture as well. Genesis chapter number 3. This is interesting to me about this promise. But this is the first promise that God made that He's going to send a seed from the woman that's going to bruise the head of the serpent. He says in verse number 15, well, in verse number 14, he says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, okay, verse number 15, the same sentence, he's still speaking to the serpent. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, the woman, of course, is Eve, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. So, of course, this is very prophetic. It's talking about Christ coming, and Satan was going to bruise the heel of Christ on the cross, but then Christ was going to bruise his head. Amen. Amen. And so, he's going to kill him. Amen. That's really, and that's going to happen when he throws him into the bottomless pit, the Bible tells us. Amen. But he's already bruised his head in some ways on the cross as well. Amen. But this is interesting to me. The very first sin, very first man commits the very first sin, or woman commits the very first sin, and God immediately promises, I'm bringing a deliverer, a savior from the sin. Amen. But it's also interesting to me, God didn't tell Eve, I'm going to send a deliverer to deliver you. He told the serpent. Now, Eve was standing right there, it looks like. But he told the serpent, the promise was made to the serpent, I'm going to send my son to deliver these people from you. Amen. And so God kept his promise. Amen. God promised to give, and he kept his promise. God always keeps his promise. Amen. Amen. He always does. Again, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of the Father. Amen. So we see Christ kept his promise. He gave us, or God kept his promise. He gave his Son for us. This great gift. How can we explain the greatness of the gift of God? Amen. Paul's telling these Corinthian believers they need to give, right? And he explains to them how they should give. You should give like God gave. God is the ultimate example. Look in verse number, we read verse number 7 in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. I like this. I underline a few words here. The Bible says, and God is able, amen, underline that, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. There's a whole lot there. Abound, all grace. He's able, all sufficiency. Verse number 9, and as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Here we go, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service is not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So it's amazing me how many words are used, like the abundant, liberal, the greatness of this gift. Paul's commanding them, exhorting them to give liberally and great, but he's telling them God is able to supply their needs. Amen. Just like here in this situation, the Christians down in Jerusalem were suffering, but God was supplying their needs by having all these churches up here to give in Greece and Turkey today, those countries was given to Israel. Now here's the thing, if it wasn't for the church at Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem going out, now we know they went to Antioch first and then they went out, but they went up and started these churches. If it wasn't for these Christians, these people would have never heard the truth. God used them to give to them, and then God's using them to give back to them. Amen. And that's the way God does. God is able. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. God is able to supply our needs. Amen. Amen. And it doesn't matter how bad of a person that you may think you are, and we are. We're all. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And I don't believe anybody gets saved unless they feel like they're just the worst. Amen. I don't think anybody gets saved thinking they're all right. They just need to add a little bit to what they can do. No, we can do nothing. But God is able. Amen. Whatever the situation may be in your life, God is able. And we can see that in the gift that God gave. Now, here in conclusion, I see Paul said, thanks be to God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. When we realize how great the gift is that God gave to us, shouldn't that cause us to be thankful to Him? Amen. A lot of times we just kind of skip over Thanksgiving in our day. And we're one of, America is one of the most ungrateful countries I believe that's ever existed.
That's right.
And we just skip over Thanksgiving and go straight to Christmas. But Christmas time should cause us to be thankful. Amen. Even more than maybe even Thanksgiving. Amen. We should have Thanksgiving in our heart to the Lord because of this unspeakable gift. Amen. He deserves our praise. Amen. For His gift that He has given. For Christ. He deserves our faithfulness. He deserves our offerings. We took up an offering earlier. The scripture that we're reading is talking about offerings. He deserves that. It's not that we're given for the preacher, that we're given for the building. We're given for Christ.
Amen.
Because of all that Christ gave for us, why can we not give to Him? Amen. We should be willing to do that. He deserves our offerings, our sacrifice, but He longs for our obedience. Samuel said that obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. We shouldn't give to sacrifice. We should give to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. Christ is the greatest gift that you could possibly receive. Sometimes you've probably received a gift at Christmas time and you really didn't have any use for it. Maybe you had two or three of them already or whatever the case may be. Nobody has ever looked at Christ and could not use the gift that He gave. We all need Christ. Amen. We all need that gift. Do you have the gift today? Do you have Christ in your heart? Today would be a good day to receive that gift. Amen. But it must be received. All right. Let's everybody stand to your feet this morning. Thank you for hearing us. We'll get a song together and a song of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, is this a simple thought, simple thing. I started with points and I couldn't get past the first point, so I was like, well, we'll just deal with this. Amen. But it's a simple thought, but maybe the Lord used it to speak to your heart. If you are lost, you can be saved today. There is room at the cross for you. Amen. We sung the song about Calvary, sung two songs about Calvary. I'm thankful for Christ going to the cross so that we could be saved. Amen. Amen. You do business with the Lord. Whatever He says unto you, as Mary said, do it. Amen. That's what we should do.